Sequestration of the FAA could hobble aviation for years. The FAA delays implementation of climb via terminology. And three are charged in an alleged aircraft inspection scheme. This is Aero News for Thursday, August 16, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A study released Monday by the Aerospace Industries Association and eConsult Corporation estimates that budget cuts to FAA operations as a result of sequestration could cost up to 132,000 aviation jobs, cause an annual decrease of 37 to 73 million in passenger enplanements, see annual reductions of 1 to 2 billion pounds of transported air freight, and would also have a devastating impact on the next generation air traffic control system, delaying system implementation by a decade or more. Sequestration is the make-a-deal-or-else compromise of automatic and indiscriminate spending cuts that are to take place if Congress cannot agree to a deficit reduction bill. The cuts were designed to be so damaging that Congress would have no choice but to reach a deficit reduction deal in order to prevent their implementation. Further impact on the aviation industry could see the closure of 246 airport control towers, the loss of 1,500 air traffic controllers, 9,000 security screeners, and 1,600 customs officials. The report also suggests overall economic losses could total $80 billion annually by 2035. Stephen P. Mullen, the vice president and principal of eConsult Corporation and author of the study, says, quote, "Sequestration would force the FAA to slash operations, bringing gridlock to the skies today, or defund modernization and infrastructure work. The closer we study sequestration, the more destructive it turns out to be," end quote. Sequestration will be automatically triggered January 2, 2013, unless Congress acts this year to repeal or delay it. The FAA has decided to delay the implementation of its climb via phraseology that it had planned to use in standard instrument departure procedures and cancel the descend via procedures that it has had in place. A notam issued August 15th cancels procedures contained in NJO7110.584, climb via and descend via procedures and phraseology. There are concerns over coordination of pilot and controller briefing material. These procedures will be reissued at a later date. When those briefing material concerns are ironed out, pilots won't be afforded a lot of latitude when reading back clearances. The FAA said that phrases such as on the or descending on a procedure are not acceptable and could create additional workload for ATC when verifying instructions issued by a prior controller. A federal indictment was unsealed Tuesday, charging a former airplane mechanical repair business in Marietta, Pennsylvania, its president and two others, in a fraud scheme involving aircraft inspections. It was announced by United States Attorney Zane David Mimiger. Jay Stout, 53, the president of Flying Tigers, Inc., Joel Stout, 31, both of Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, and Howard Gunter, 76, of New Bloomfield, Pennsylvania, are charged with 29 counts, including conspiracy, fraud involving aircraft parts, mail and wire fraud, and obstruction of justice. The indictment alleges that between October 2006 and October 2009, the defendants conspired to commit fraud by charging customers of Flying Tigers Incorporated for annual inspections of their aircraft that were not performed by FAA-certified mechanics or, on some occasions, were not performed at all. If convicted, the defendants face substantial terms of imprisonment and criminal fines, 3 years supervised release, and mandatory restitution. The Los Angeles, California City Council on Tuesday night gave its blessing to legislation sponsored by Congressman Howard Berman, Democrat of California, that could mean tighter flight path and altitude restrictions for helicopters operating over that city. The legislation, if passed, would authorize the FAA to set minimum altitudes and establish flight corridors for certain areas of the city. The vote follows a town meeting called by Berman on August the 6th, in which the FAA participated to discuss helicopter noise in Los Angeles County. The LA Times reports the bill focuses on civilian aircraft and exempts certain military, law enforcement, and other emergency aircraft from flight restrictions that would be developed by the FAA. At Sao Paulo's Latin American Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition 2012, Gulfstream President Larry Flynn reaffirmed the company's commitment to expanding support for its growing Latin American fleet, especially with two new models nearing entry into service and the opening of the company's first Latin American service center in Sorocaba, Brazil. The Sorocaba facility, about 60 miles from Sao Paulo, is certified to perform maintenance, repairs, and alterations on all Brazil-registered Gulfstream aircraft. It can also service U.S.-registered Gulfstream aircraft with Federal Aviation Administration certified technicians. Flynn noted that the world economy has been challenging for business aviation, and Gulfstream is addressing this by investing in new aircraft, like its newest models, the Gulfstream G650 and G280, and an expanded worldwide support organization. In fact, both the G650 and the G280 are nearing entry into service. The G650 received a provisional type certificate from the FAA on November the 18th of last year and is in the process of completing the final certification test with the FAA in order to support entry into service later this year. The G280, meanwhile, received its provisional type certificates from the FAA on March 1st of this year. When AeroNews continues, curiosity has a brain, bringing Skyfest back to Spokane, and the IMC Club expands nationally.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, August 16th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Curiosity has finished a four-day process transitioning both of its redundant main computers from flight software to software needed for driving and using tools of the rover's arm, or as Curiosity Mission Manager Mike Watkins of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California said, quote, "We have successfully completed the brain transplant. Now we are moving on to a new phase of functional checkouts of the science instruments and preparations for a short test drive," end quote. That first drive, possibly within a week or so, will likely include short forward and reverse segments and a turn. After the test drive, the planning schedule has an intermission before a second testing phase focused on use of the rover's robotic arm. During that intermission, the 400-member science team will have the opportunity to pick a location for Curiosity to drive to before the arm testing begins. During a prime mission of nearly 2 years, researchers will use Curiosity to investigate whether the selected area of Mars has ever offered chemical ingredients for life and other environmental conditions favorable for supporting microbial life. Well, there's a new commander at Fairchild Air Force Base near Spokane, Washington, and on his to-do list is a revival of the Skyfest air show at the base. The 2012 show was postponed earlier this year due to budget issues by the previous base commander, Colonel Paul Geimer, saying that by delaying the show until 2013, the base could put on a show, quote, they could be proud of, end quote, according to a February report from KXLY-TV in Spokane. At the time, Colonel Geimer said, quote, by postponing Skyfest until 2013, we can better showcase the capabilities of our extraordinary airmen and show our appreciation to our civilian neighbors, end quote. Now, the Spokane Spokesman Review reports that the new commander, Colonel Brian Newberry, definitely wants to bring the air show back next year, saying, quote, we're going to press ahead, end quote, he told the paper. But the revival is not a done deal, and a final decision will have to wait until after a number of budget issues are resolved. The last time Skyfest was held at Fairchild was in 2010. IMC Club International will be opening additional chapters across the nation in the next few weeks. Pilots will gather at CP Aviation in Santa Paula, California on August the 25th, Redbird Skyport in San Marcos, Texas on September 13th, and Motion Air Aviation on September 14th in Midlothian, Texas for the inaugural meetings. Also, new chapters and meetings are planned for North Carolina, Nevada, Michigan, Alabama, and Nebraska, all of which will bring the total number of IMC Club chapters to over 36. The IMC Club is an organization dedicated to promoting safety and proficiency among its instrument-rated members. The IMC Club encourages creation of local communities of pilots who meet to discuss topics and share information specific to instrument flying. Members call it organized hangar flying, which promotes sharing of experience and encourages more and safer instrument aviation. The IMC Club acts as a network of pilots who share their knowledge and experience while learning from one another. From the ice of Greenland to the Big Easy, My Gal Sal is heading to a new home. The vintage World War II bomber, which spent more than 50 years buried in a Greenland glacier, is being shrink-wrapped and prepped for a move from Blue Ash Airport near Cincinnati to the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. The move is the result of a battle between Blue Ash and the city of Cincinnati, neither of which wants to pay to keep Blue Ash Airport open beyond August the 29th. The B-17 Flying Fortress went down in Greenland in 1942 and was salvaged from the ice in 1995. She was acquired by Bob Reedy, who had hoped to build a museum around the airplane. But the squabble between the two municipalities means the likely loss of the airport to the community, and that would leave My Gal Sal without a home. So she's on her way to the museum in New Orleans, where she will be showcased in a new $30 million building. Reedy says he is honored to donate the airplane to the museum, but is sorry to see it going so far away. We're going away too, but only for about 24 hours, as I'll return tomorrow with another edition of Aero News. Until then, thanks as always for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.